Well, today, again, we do not have a shout and jump and hallelujah message. We're going to talk about the fear of God. Okay, but this is good. Boy, this is really good. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for today's message. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here with us to help us, to open up these things and give us insight and understanding, to give us revelation of your word, Father. And I just pray that you help me articulate the message in good English language for everybody to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there was when Bible college or whatever I went to, there was a course called Submission and Authority. I thought, I don't know. That don't sound like it's all that good, but you had to take it, you know. You know who the teacher was? Keith Moore. Keith Moore was the teacher. Man, is he good. It was a great class. And the thing about the fear of the Lord is, man, is it good once you get hold of it. One commentary said the Bible exposition commentary on the Old Testament said, "The remarkable thing about fearing God," wrote Oswald Chambers, "is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else." Okay? When you have true, healthy, reverent fear of God, you fear nothing else. The prophet Isaiah says it perfectly in Isaiah 8:13. And the psalmist describes such a man in Psalms 112. You can just take notes because, let's read that. Isaiah 8:13. Let's see what that says. You know, it's just like what I said about tithes and offerings, that if I obey God and I do my part, I have never, ever been afraid that somehow I was not going to have a job or I was going to have no money and me and Claudia were just going to, you know, to go down the drain, living, you know, some nightmare deal where, you know, we don't have a place to live or food to eat or pay the rent. I just feel absolutely secure inside that with my relation with God, you know, that he will do what he says. Claudia, can you give me some water? I'm, for some reason, something's going on. Or somebody else, that's maybe Brother Mike could. He's quick and fast. Amen. you know, we're doing pretty good in this church because this pastor I had breakfast with a couple weeks ago said he was the youngest person in his church, and he was 63. You know, I thought, wow, man. And there's five couples or families in this church that are, you know, younger that have children. Okay, so that's not too bad, huh? We have them all ranges. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank God for the children. I just love them. Isaiah 8:13. Says, "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear, and he is the one you are to dread." Okay? You know, a lot of people probably have a hard time with that today. But boy, you're going to get an education today. Amen? You might hear something, I don't like the sound of that, because these days nobody wants to be told anything. Don't you tell me what to do, right? Huh? Well, I'd say God's got a right to it, since he created the universe and he created us, right? Now, turn to Acts 9:31. There, we'll just go through and read these scriptures. Acts 9:31. Says, "Then the Lord throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." Okay? Now, the fear of the Lord is not like you're fearing a criminal or something bad happened to you or something like that. The fear of the Lord is like, reverence and awe towards the Lord. Amen? The fear of the Lord is that attitude of reverence and awe. Reverence and awe that his people show him because they love him and respect his power and his greatness. Okay? The person who fears the Lord will pay attention to his word and obey it. Okay? He or she will not tempt the Lord by deliberately disobeying or playing with sin. I guess that means quotations, right? You know, you do not deliberately disobey the Lord or start playing around in sin, okay? Because you have reverence and awe and respect for the Lord. Amen? And there is this healthy fear. An unholy fear makes people run away from God. Okay, an unholy fear. But a holy fear brings them to their knees in loving submission to God. You see, in your relationship with God, you have to proceed on the basis that God is a good God. Okay? God is not a bad God. He's not an evil God. He's not a mean, wicked God. You have to proceed on with your relationship with God that, and, you know, he kind of got my thinking straightened out on this, you know, a long time ago. But I proceed on the basis that God is for me. You know what I mean? He wants me to succeed. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to be able to overcome every obstacle in my path. You understand what I'm saying? He is a good God, and he wants to do good things in your life. You understand? People, you know, think that they're always hiding or running from God, and they're thinking, I'm going to do this and sneak around. You ain't getting away with nothing. Just go with God. Amen? Because he's for you. He's like your loving father. That he's for you all the way. He's not against you. Amen? And if things are a little bumpy, you know, just stay close to Daddy. Amen? And pray. Hey, he's there. You may have to go through some things in life, you know, some bumpy things. You might be on a bumpy road for a long time if you don't get it in, you know, if you don't get your thinking straightened out. Okay? What he rewards is when you obey him. Okay? God always rewards obedience. Now, it's real simple. You can do it you can do it your way, or you can do it God's way. Okay? I used to really get a kick out of that commercial they used to have on TV years ago. It was a transmission commercial about fixing your transmissions, you know. And the guy, you know, was working on transmissions and all this. And it showed a picture of some really crude kind of guy working on a car. You know, he just banged it, just whatever, tearing it up. And it went back and showed that man when he was a little boy, you know. And he had one of those little wooden things that had holes in them, like a round hole and then a square hole and a triangular hole. And it showed that little kid, he had a round, big round peg, and he had this hammer, he was trying to beat it through like a square hole or something, you know. And say, hey, that's the guy today who's working on your transmission, you know. And, you know, he's like, and he said, hey, you can bring me your car now, or you can bring it to me later, you know, and he would take care of it over there. Okay. But the idea is that you can do it your way, you can do it God's way, you know. And men, in mankind, because we've fallen in sin, we just rebel. We want to do it our way, you know. Like Frank Sinatra had that big song, so popular, "My Way," or "I Did It My Way." Well, that ain't got to go over too big, you know. When it comes to Judgment Day, "I Did It My Way." Better be, "Lord, I did it your way, Lord," because Father God knows everything. He has all the wisdom. He created everything. He knows everything from A to Z, right, beginning to the end. And he gave us this Bible. This is the manual. When everything starts going wrong, you can't figure things out. What do? You go back to the manual, right? I'm reading the manual on this car we got, you know, it's got different stuff on it. I don't know how it works, this and that. And I'm in the manual, the owner's manual, and I'm trying to figure out what to do, how to make this work or whatever, right? Well, when everything starts going bad in life and you can't figure out what is going on, you go to the manual, right? This is the manual. Thank God he gave us the manual and just didn't leave us running around here in the dark. Walking in fear of the Lord, what does it mean and what does the Bible have to say about it? Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think maybe by the time we get done with this, you'll understand that the real, if you, a good, healthy fear of the Lord is going to be something that you'll want in your life, big time. It means a whole lot. It'll actually kind of watch over you and protect you from a lot of things. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, the decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. Okay? So right off the bat, it's talking about fearing the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you. So he's, and so that you may enjoy long life. Okay? Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We're talking about the Word of God. Man, does he want you saturated with the Word of God? He don't ever want you to forget his Word and his commands, right? Because the deal is, if you'll do them, if you'll obey them, things are going to be really, really good in your life. Man, you're going to go into a land of milk and honey. You're going to prosper. Boy, you're going to have all kinds of healthy kids and flocks and herds. It's really going to be good. That's what we say. Keep these things before you. You see people, we have stuff posted in our bathroom mirror and on our icebox and, you know, all over the place, you know, so that you just happen to look up and there's a good scripture, you know, that just kind of blesses you, you know. And in a way, that's what he's saying. Just keep the Word of God, you know. Verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore your fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build. Okay? Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. When they're going into the promised land, they're going to have these beautiful homes filled up with stuff that they did not build. I mean, come on, they just came out of 400 years of slavery, right? And then 40 years wandering in the desert. I mean, they got the clothes on their backs, pretty much, right? They're eating manna. They get up in the morning, they pick up food off the ground that God showered down. They got, you know, no homes or nothing. They got little tents, I guess, they sleep in. They're going to go into this promised land. There's going to be big cities, houses full of things, big, nice houses. Wow, man, that, I mean, to a people that's 400 years of slavery and then been in a desert for 40 years, boy, this is like big, you know, like a super Christmas, you know. Houses filled with all kinds of things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord. Verse 13. Fear the Lord, your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. And his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees that he has given you. Do what is right in the eye, do what is right and good in the eyes in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. Verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear our the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper. Okay? I don't know about you, but I want to always prosper. Okay? You notice there's this fear of the Lord all through this thing. Teach your children to fear the, if you have a healthy respect and awe, amen, and reverence for God. And so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all his laws before the Lord our God, he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. So really, that will all be credited to them as righteousness, you know, obeying the laws like they're supposed to. So the fear of God is a commandment, okay? It is a commandment. Fear the Lord, right? It's not a optional deal. Yes, you know, like ordering something, you order options on it, you know. The fear of the God is not an option. It is a command from God. Because this gets down to some core foundational issues here. Because if you do not fear God, okay, then you just might do anything, okay? See, it's the fear of the Lord that restrains you from doing evil, from doing sin. See, that's what's happened to the whole world, basically. Why are people doing the things that they're doing now in this world? Why is it so crazy? All the immorality, the murder, the killing, the greed, everything. It's because, man, there's no fear of God on this earth anymore, except in his people, hopefully. Because if you have a healthy fear of God, you're not going to do these things for fear that, you know, the judgment of God coming down on you. You know, in the end, you're going to have to answer for our lives. Amen? So you see, that if there's no fear of God, it's kind of like you're unrestrained and you just can do whatever you want to do. We don't have to answer for it. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Anybody? Huh? Anybody? Come on, folks. Amen. The fear of God will restrain you from doing evil or wicked things. Amen? You might be tempted to do something, but what is it that stops you from doing it? Well, man, you know, Jesus would not be happy about this, right? Boy, I'm not going to do this for fear of God. I know God don't want me to do this. Well, it's in the Bible, you know, how I should act and treat other people. So, you know, we look and we study the Word of God, and it restrains us. Because we have this fear of God. What the trouble is, there is no fear of God hardly in the land. And that's what's causing all this evil to overtake our world. You know? And so it is a very powerful thing. And so we should teach our children diligently. Okay? Like when we come to church, teach our children, you know, this is church, you know, to have reverence in the building, you know? That this is where we're going to worship God and all that. We should be on good behavior, right? And have reverence for the things of God. Amen? And at home, you know, like the Bible or something, you sit down and have little stories about God and tell things. You know, the children should be reverent, and you teach them to be reverent before the Lord. And so the fear of the Lord will cause us to do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Amen? Here's the thing. The fear of the Lord is good always. Okay? The fear of the Lord is good always. Amen? Always. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to have in your life. In Proverbs 1:7, let's look at that. Proverbs 1:7. That's why I said a minute ago, I said fear is like a core issue. It's like a foundational thing. Okay? It's not some option that, you know, as you're going through life and you've been a Christian for 20 years, I'm going to check out this fear of God. What does that mean? Fear is some of the basic foundation of your Christian life. What does it say in verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. You understand? The fear of the Lord, if you've got no fear of God, man, you're missing the boat. Okay? You're missing the boat. We should have a healthy, reverent respect and awe for God. Amen? It's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, since we're there in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And that says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we had it, the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Amen? So we have two scriptures there. It's the beginning to have a healthy respect and fear of God. Children should respect their parents, right? Anybody believe that?
Yeah.
I don't know how many kids do anymore today. I don't know what the deal is. Everything seems to be running wild. You know, I grew up in a different era, okay, where mom would go out in the backyard and snap a branch off the tree and wail the daylights out of me, you know? A whole different deal than what is today. I grew up in a different world, you know? But, you know, the children should, you know, when they talk back to you and insult you and show contempt for you, that is a bad, bad thing, man. Your children should be taught to respect you because it's learning, you know, part of that learning, God expects that because it's learning to, it's learning to have respect and, for God himself. It's an important thing not to let your children just totally disrespect you. It's a serious thing and it will have implications later on as they grow up. You know, they should respect Pop. Amen? When I was a kid, it was, when your daddy gets home, you're going to get it, right? When your father hears about this, you know? Yeah, put it off on old Pop, right? He has to be the bad guy. Well, in my case, my dad was just the opposite. I don't think he ever spanked me. My mom beat the heck out of me, but my dad, he just was not that kind of guy. He just couldn't do it. But my mom was. Two different families. My mom grew up down in the Ozarks, born in a little log cabin in the Ozarks. Her whole family was, all brothers and sisters and everything. You ever see those pictures of those old guys way back there? They got that sternest look on their face, and that's the way her whole family was, you know. They just had a look on their face like, well, don't do anything. You better not be cussing around us or doing something that was sinful, boy. They were going to get you. Anyway. In Proverbs 2, it says, to kind of sum it up, so we don't have to read the whole thing. I don't even have my watch today, hon. The Lord, summing up, it's good to read that chapter, but to sum it up, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. If you give heed unto God's word, you study it and you get it in you, wisdom will enter your heart. You know, how many times have we messed up in life because we have no wisdom, you know? We do dumb things. Hey, get the wisdom of God and understanding in you, man. That's what it will do. The knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wisdom will save you from the ways of a wicked man, from men whose words are perverse, okay? And Jesus also spoke about fear of the Father. You know that? Jesus did in Luke chapter 12. Let's see here. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. This gets a little more serious here, you know. Jesus starts talking about this. He says, verse 4 and 5, I believe, it says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Okay, you guys see that? But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about Father God, isn't he? See, man can only kill your body. Okay? Which, you know, doesn't really turn me on too much. But God can, you know, he can cast you into hell. He has that power, right? And you have to understand, well, none of us are going to live forever. Every one of us, our bodies are going to give out. We're going to go just like everybody else that ever lived, except for Caleb and Elijah and Enoch. Elijah and Enoch, the only two that never died. Okay, and a lot of people think that, you know, during the tribulations and revelations, there's going to be two witnesses show up in the streets of Jerusalem and torment everybody, and they'll be doing miracles and all kinds of stuff. They think that's who it is because they had never died. So, and then they would be killed. Finally, after so long, they're actually able to kill them. They never could kill them for like 3 years or 3.5 years. They kill them. They're laying on the streets of Jerusalem in the hot sun for 3 days. And boom, they just stand up, man, and come back alive. That's when everybody loses it. You know, all the evil people is like, whoa. Now they're really scared. You know what I mean? So anyway, but, you know, we have to understand, I know when you're young, you think, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. Well, it's not that way. Guess what? I was young once. You know? I was thinking the other day when I was in the military, I was going over that with somebody when I was 17, 18, 18 years old, 19 years old. I was living in Germany in a little town of Zorin, you know? And, you know, and I was thinking about those days. I was at a luncheon up at the veterans, that new veterans home up there in Lebanon Crossing, the hospital, and we took a tour through it and had a lunch and all that. And boy, it brought back a lot of things, you know. Things in your life you can go back. I mean, I've done a lot of things. We're not going to talk about them now, but I've done a lot of things in my life some ain't so proud of either. But anyway, Jesus said that there is only one whom all people should fear. Okay. God alone, okay? He controls eternal consequences. It is more fearful to disobey God than to face martyrdom, okay? And that's, you know, there is the fear of God, but there's also like the love of God, which can be so strong. And I'm thinking about those people over in the Middle East right now. It's like, you know, for them, I mean, honestly, it's the tribulations for them, right? How does it get any worse than a guy stands in front of you and says, deny Jesus or I cut your head off, or you die right now, and you just say, no, I'm not renouncing Jesus, and boom, you're shot dead or your head's cut off. I mean, could the tribulations be worse than that, really? You know what I mean? So because of their love for Jesus and their fear of God or whatever it is, their commitment, they will not renounce Jesus. Who are they, you know, who do they fear the most? That terrorist, or do they fear God the most? You know what I mean? I mean, nobody is ever going to look at death or murder, you know, as something pleasant. It's always going to be something. It's just a terrible, horrible thing. Because the Bible says it is our enemy, and it's the last enemy to be defeated. Amen? Death is not your friend. It's your enemy, right? God never intended Adam and Eve to die some death of old age and disease or whatever, you know. When he makes them, he made them eternal. They would have walked forever in the garden. There was no such thing. There was no such thing as death. So they couldn't have died. Death did not exist. Because the Bible says, death entered the world through sin. That's when death came upon the earth. There was not even possible to die before then. Amen? So he never intended us to die. He doesn't make things, you know, like throwaway stuff. You know, like, well, he makes it to last so long and then it's a throwaway deal. No, he didn't do that with us. The worst that people can do, that's kill the body, does not compare with the worst that God can do. While the Greeks believed that only the soul lived on after death, Jesus taught unmistakably that hell is a place of destruction for the soul and the body, the whole person. Hebrews chapter 10. So, you know, when somebody talks about the fear of the Lord and all this, don't shrink up or shrivel up or get a bad feeling. You want to have a healthy fear of God. You want to have a good reverence, respect, and awe of God, because it will kind of protect you. Really, when you read all these things in the Bible, it will kind of protect you. Because if you have this healthy respect for God, this healthy fear, it will keep you from doing things that you shouldn't do. Amen? Which brings on all the problems. Okay? In Hebrews 10, 26, it says, if we, this is some really serious stuff here. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as unholy, as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing. Verse 31, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay? So what God, you know, what that's telling me is that this is why God sees things. That when you reject Jesus, you're basically trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus in the blood of the covenant. It means nothing to you. Okay, it's not a neutral thing where you stay on the fence, you know. God sees it as when you reject Jesus and you won't receive him as your Savior, you're trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus and the blood of the covenant, you see. And the Bible says, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen? I don't know if anybody's ever been before a judge here in this, you know, in our life. It is no fun thing, man, to be before a judge. You know, you feel pretty naked and vulnerable, more or less. That guy's got a lot of power, man. You know? All he has to do is bang that hammer down and say, this is my sentence, you know, or this is my whatever, verdict. But man, you're talking about your eternal soul and your spirit. I mean, it's like that alone, you know, the fear of God. What could happen to me at the end of my life in judgment? Hey, and here he tells me everything to do. Here's the manual. Love him. Amen. Follow the teachings of Jesus. Amen. Have a holy, reverent fear of God. Amen. Well, in my life, at home, with my family, on my job, in the way I relate and you know, interact with other people, right? You can't come to church on Sunday and, you know, everybody's good in church, right? Well, I remember a few cases when everybody wasn't good. But you understand, everybody can put on a nice face and be friendly and nice in church, but what happens when you go home and you leave, right? The other 6 days of the week, how's it going then, you know? Amen? We're supposed to constantly, continually remember the words of God and have this healthy respect and fear of God, because it will keep you from doing things that God is not going to like, right? And if you don't repent from it, it's just going to cause problems. We need to repent. There's things that, you know, in our private lives, I don't know what people are doing. I don't want to know. Amen? But you might be doing things at home or whatever that, you know it's not right and God don't like, right? Hopefully nobody here. Amen? But there's a lot of wickedness and sin in the world, and the devil is just trying to get everybody he can get. He's like fishing, you know, throwing that hook out there and seeing if he can reel in, right? And there's a lot of temptations. In Genesis 22, way back in Genesis, I mean, you know, I'm not the kind of preacher that's going to stand up here and say, you know, well, it's okay, God just loves you, right? Boy, I wouldn't be surprised if God just strike me with lightning, man. It's not okay to just do whatever you want to do, and if it feels good, do it. And well, whatever the world's doing, you know, just go ahead and flow with them. Man, we got to look at the manual, right? The manual, and it says, fear God, fear God, fear God, over and over, all through there, because it's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding and knowledge. It will keep you, in, like it said in Deuteronomy, hey, if you will fear God and obey His words, you're going to have a long, prosperous life. Man, things are going to go good for you, amen? God is going to watch over you and prosper you and do those things. Or you can go do things your way, right? Roll the dice, man, and hope it turns out, right? Or you can go with God's plan. You can go with His manual, right? The manual for life. So we can do our own thing, or we can follow God. We can have a reverence, fear of God. In Genesis chapter 22, see, this fear of God plays into everything. Genesis 22, in verse 10, you know the story, Abraham is tested. He's taken the miracle son up on the mountain, and he's got him up there, and he's tied down on this altar or whatever it is, and he's got this big knife, and he's standing over the boy, and he's ready to... There's nothing left to do, okay? As God is testing every step of the way. And what it is, he saw in Abraham's heart that he was going to do what God told him to do. God could see your heart and your mind and your soul. He saw Abraham in his heart. He had just decided he was going to do what Father God said. So he tested him up to that point. And then it said in verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you, what? Come on, folks. Fear God. It looks to me like the whole test was to see, do you fear God? He stopped him. Do not touch the boy, right? Now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his sons. Okay? But, you know, now I know that you fear me. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't catch that when they read that. It's like, Abraham was a man of faith, right? Well, he said it's our, you know, the father of our faith, right? But you see, there's this whole thing about fear in there. It's like the fear of God will cause your faith to do things or to not do things. It can go either way, okay? As Abraham began to perform the sacrifice, God saw that he made the ultimate surrender in his heart. The Lord now knew that Abraham was a God-fearing man whose chief concern was to do the will of God, okay? Even up to the point of his miracle son. But I think Abraham proceeded on the basis, like I said earlier, that God is a good God. Amen? And he's going to do good things in my life. And he had promised that that son was going to be the heir in the line, right? He knew that God was not an evil, wicked God. If he thought that, he never would have did it. God's taking my son away from me and, you know, and all this, the thing that I love, and he would have rebelled and not did it, see? But I think he knew in his heart, man, he had this reverent fear and respect for God. I think he knew God was a good God in his heart. And he was determined, I'm going to follow God. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to follow God. I'm surrendering my heart. I'm going to follow whatever he says. And boy, did it turn out good, right? I'm sure when he had that knife up in the air, you know, it was like he was sweating bullets maybe. I don't know. But man, he did what God said. Now, all Abraham and all the nations on earth were blessed because Abraham truly feared the Lord. In that, if you read on, there's like 15 through 18, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you obeyed me. Amen? And it was because he feared God. Okay? So there's faith, but there's the fear of God that kind of goes along with it in many instances. Amen? Because God had this fear, Abraham had this fear of God, that this reverent, you know, fear of God that caused him to go all that way, plus in the faith also, the faith and the fear. Because that's what the angel said, wasn't it? Did you guys read that? Now I know you fear God, okay? So this was brought out. There was this fear of God that got Abraham to that point. You see, the fear of God will cause you to do things, okay? It caused Abraham to do that. Now look at Hebrews 11:6. We go from Abraham up to Noah. Hebrews 11:6-7. Well, let's just read 7:7. It says, by faith, Noah, okay, now it mentions the faith part of this, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with what? Fear. Amen. Mine says godly fear. See, there was faith and there was godly fear in there, wasn't there? Fear and faith, the two F's, the F's. Double F's, like, you know. You ever want one of those shirts that's got a, like, faith man on the front, like, you know, Superman deal? Only faith man, faith woman, right? You know, our kids, I mean, where was I? We were somewhere, and this girl, we were in the mall down at Eugene, and these young kids, you know, teeny boppers, we call them, you know, teeny boppers. They look like they're 15, maybe. they come through there. Their hair was every color in the rainbow, rings all over them, all kinds of stuff. And the girl had a shirt on. It says, "I hate everybody." Yeah. I thought, good Lord, man. What has happened to our kids? I hate everybody, you know? And you just like shake your head. It's like, man, what has happened to people, you know? What is this young girl so angry about? What is she, you know? What is it? Why do you hate everybody? Anyway, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Okay? So by faith, he moved in godly fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Okay? So, again, here is something, this godly fear motivated and caused Noah to do something, didn't it? So we have Abraham, this godly fear in him and faith caused Abraham to do this thing with his son. Now we got Noah, he did something because of faith and this godly fear, right? To do something. Now, let's look at an example of godly fear causing somebody not to do something, okay? So let's go back to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15 through 21. Okay. You know, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and everything. Verse 15. Exodus 1:15. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were the first one is Shiphrath, and the other name was Puah. Okay, the reason I know this is because I wrote notes in my, I got notes here to how to pronounce that in those names. And he said to them, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool," they did not go to the maternity ward, folks. They were on the birth stool, okay? If it is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. Now that is total discrimination, isn't it? Well, they didn't have the politically correct crowd back then. Anyway, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, what? They feared God, okay, and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. So it looks to me like they feared God more than they feared the king of Egypt. Would you say so? Exactly. And, you know, back then, if the king at his whim, he just has anybody killed that he wants to, doesn't he? So they knew, I mean, it could come to that, I suppose. But it says, the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So, man, they just pop these kids out so fast, you can't get there in time, right, to kill them. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives, what?
Feared God.
He gave them families of their own. Okay? Then Pharaoh, we'll stop there. But you understand, it says God... Wait a second. So God was kind to the midwives. They disobeyed Pharaoh, but they, because of godly fear, they obeyed God. And it says God was kind to those midwives. So in other words, that tells me he gave them favor, didn't he?
Yep.
He gave those midwives favor. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. So man, they got blessed because they feared God, they wouldn't do the evil that Pharaoh wanted them to do. See, the fear of the Lord will cause you to do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in conclusion, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, Solomon was famous for having so much wisdom. Anybody know that?
Yeah.
Anybody read that? He, because of how everything originally started out with him and what he asked for, God gave him wisdom. He was supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived, you know. Maybe for all time, but certainly in that time. Ecclesiastes, that is right after I believe Isaiah, isn't it? Huh? Proverbs, right after Proverbs. Come on, we should have all kinds of Bible scholars in here. Except besides Alice. She always catches every time I do something wrong, she catches it. Thank God for Alice. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. You see, he's talking about life and the meaning of life and everything here in Ecclesiastes. It's kind of a really neat book. He's questioning everything about life and what does this mean and what does that mean and everything. And this is the wisest man that ever lived. You know, God gave him this great wisdom. And in verse 9, the little caption over mine, in my Bible, says the conclusion of the matter. So after he had studied all this, the wisest man in the world, this is what the conclusion is that he came to, okay? In verse 13, it says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Okay? What's his next word?
Fear God
and keep his commandments. After he has examined all the things of life, he comes to this conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay? This is the bottom line. Fear God and obey and keep his commandments. For God will bring every deed into judgment, everything, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Okay? Now, in one commentary, I read, the Bible Exposition Commentary of the Old Testament, I'll read this, I read it earlier, it says, the fear of the Lord is that attitude. Okay? That of reverence and awe that his people should show him because they love him and respect him, respect his power and his greatness. The person who fears the Lord will pay attention to his word and obey it. Okay? If you really, really fear the Lord, you will pay attention to his word and you will obey it. He or she will not tempt the Lord by deliberately disobeying or playing with sin. You ever know? You notice people that sometimes they just want to play with sin? Dibble dabble a little bit out there, you know? Don't do it, boy. Don't play with it. An unholy fear makes people run away from God, but a holy fear brings them to their knees in loving submission to God. Another commentary says, keep his commandments. God created life, and he alone knows how it should be managed. He wrote the manual of instructions. And wise is the person who reads and obeys. Wise is the person. Hey, when all else fails, read the manual. Amen? The fear of the Lord must result in obedient living. Otherwise, that fear is only a sham. Okay? When you live your life, you can't say, I really have a healthy fear for the Lord, and then you just go sin and you're disobedient to the Lord. Okay? The dedicated believer will want to spend time daily in Scripture, getting to know the Father better and discovering His will. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Okay? The last phrase in verse 13 can be translated in that Ecclesiastic, this is the end of man. For example, his purpose in life. This is his purpose in life. Or, this is for all men. A man named Campbell Morgan suggests this is the whole of man. He writes a commentary on that particular scripture. He says, man in his entirety must begin with God, the whole of man, the fear of God. When Solomon looked at life under the sun, everything was fragmented. As he tried to, in other words, Solomon was trying to understand life. Okay? What is the meaning of life? What is it all about? Okay? And it's so complicated, so, you know, diverse and intricate that it's all fragmented. He can't make any, you know, sense of it all. What does it all mean, you know? Or what brings it all together, makes it cohesive so we can see it and understand it? And he said, the man in his entirety, or when Solomon looked at life under the sun, everything was fragmented and he could see no pattern. But when he looked at life from God's point of view, everything came together into one whole. If man wants to have wholeness, he must begin with God. Amen? Without God in your life, there, honestly, and I went through this, I ended up getting saved over it, but I could not find no real reason or purpose for my life. It just didn't make sense, okay, to live this short little life on earth and just poof, be gone and die like a dog and there's nothing. That doesn't make sense. There must be a purpose. There must be something in life. There must be more than this, and it's God. Amen? It's God is what makes it all fit together. And the beginning of that wisdom and the beginning of knowledge and understanding is the fear of the Lord. Amen? It's a good thing. How many thinks it's a good thing to have the healthy fear of God, huh? Yeah, yeah. Amen. Like I said, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if we say, I don't have to fear God or anything else, you go do your own thing. Well, you heard it from me, folks. It's going to be bad on Judgment Day. Because if you won't receive Christ and follow Him, it said in Hebrews that it's like you were trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant. Amen? So there's no neutral place on the fence. You know, it's either you go one way or the other. You're either born again and you're a citizen of the kingdom and you belong to the Lord, or you're a slave to sin and your God is Satan. That might sound rough, but that's exactly what the Bible says. It's one way or the other. You have to make a decision of which way you're going to go. Amen? I choose life. Amen? Let's choose life. Glory to God. You know, when I made a little notes as I was studying this fear, some of the things that it said about fear, well, the fear of God, you will enjoy a long life. Things will go well with you. This is if you have fear of God. You will increase greatly. The land of milk and honey. You will prosper. You will always prosper and be kept alive. This is what God was telling His children. It's the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Godly fear will move you to do things or not do things. Okay, and we looked at some of the examples. In all cases in the Bible, the godly fear was always good. Always good for the person. Amen? Amen? There was never a case where godly fear was going to have a negative effect on your life or harm you. It was always a good thing. It's showing faith and trust in God. Amen? And respect and all for Him. And regardless of what the consequences may look like, you go with God, your fear of God. Amen? And God will take care of the rest. Amen? It's like I'm going all the way with the Lord. Amen? And I'm going to have a healthy fear. It will restrain you, keep you from doing the wrong things in life. Amen? Okay, praise God. Anyone need prayer this morning? You know, God is still in the healing business. Amen? Does anybody have a situation where they need prayer or want us to all join in prayer with them on something? Nope. Everybody's healthy, got it together. We're all doing good. Amen. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and we thank you for this message today. This is a wonderful, good message that we all need to hear. We know that's greatly some of the problem with this nation, with this world. No fear of God. Lord, we pray that we will always have the fear of God in us and be aware of it, because it's a good thing. We want it in our lives, and we thank you for this message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.